All right, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, we're going to do things a little different this evening, and we will be doing it different for the next several weeks, really, for the next couple of months, actually. We're going to be breaking up in small groups. I'm really looking forward to that and discussing the lesson this evening, what we have in store. So if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, not sure if I told you that chapter, but the last chapter. Matthew chapter 28. And Steve, it is so good to see you here, and glad you guys made it. Did you fly in, or did you? You did fly in? Okay. Made it from the airport? Okay. Okay. Atlanta traffic wasn't too bad? All right. Well, yeah, okay. And it cooled down just in time for you guys to come down from the north. That works out well, doesn't it? Steve? Yeah, they brought it with them. That's right. That's all right. I don't know about most of us, but many of us here like the cold weather and enjoy it some. Just let's take a vote real quick. How many of you like the change of weather and it's cold? Raise your hand. That is the majority. Amen. All right. And we won't ask the others what they think. But no, with all seriousness, it is good to see you here. And all of you, so good to see you here this evening. We're going to be starting a new series, but I want to begin by just taking a look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 17. We'll start with 16, actually. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the Word of God tonight, and thank you for that wonderful song, the truth of, Lord, we are more than conquerors through you, Lord Jesus. You are our conqueror. You are our King. You're our Lord and Savior and our God, our shepherd, and we bow our hearts in adoration tonight. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this place with your presence, and Lord, that we would grow in being true, genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit our service to you tonight, and we thank you again for the opportunity to be together. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As has been promoted and announced, we're starting a series based on this book here, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. You may want to go ahead and get a copy for yourself. I think it's maybe like $20 on Amazon. I do not endorse everything in this book, of course, and I do want to make that clear. He's got some very important truths about being a true disciple in here, but would not see eye to eye on some things. But nevertheless, I think it's worthy of us going through. I know it's been a great help to me personally in my discipleship, because I'm just like you. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We're all disciples, and the ground at the cross is level, and we're all growing together. And so it's been a help to me, so maybe it can be a help to you as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretty much put the study in my own words as I study and read it. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead me, add some things, take away some things, just whatever I feel would be fitting for our church and where we are in our walk with the Lord, just to personalize it a little more than just necessarily watching a video or just reading a book. But just want to preface the study by saying that you can look at the notes. Is there anybody that needs notes? Because we do have those available. We have some up here. Is anybody need notes? We can get ushers to you. All right, can we get a couple ushers? And ushers, if you would, go ahead and grab the outline, the notes, and the personal assessment, because you're not going to use this tonight. This is a take-home test. I used to love take-home tests, by the way, at school. Did anybody else like the take-home test? You did? Oh, I love those, because I usually called the smart person in my class and went and did it with them. No. You guys didn't think that was funny, did you? That was not during Bible college, by the way, okay? That was before I came to know the Lord. But nevertheless, if you need a handout, could you raise your hand, please, brothers? We got a few up here, up toward the front, Wes. And go ahead and get these assessments. Who needs an assessment? All right? We're going to get to you up here. Assessments right over here. Anybody else over here need one? Yes. Yep. The one that says the emotionally healthy discipleship personal assessment. We will. No. This is just for you to take home and take on your own. We're not even looking at this tonight. I just want you to have a copy before you leave out. Does anybody else have a copy, need a copy of this? All right. If you don't, you can grab one in the foyer, but just set that aside, please. We're not looking at that right now. I don't want it to be a distraction. If you would, just pay more attention to the outline. And if you need one, thank you so much, Brother Wes. If anybody else needs an outline, just raise your hand. Right here, Wes, Mrs. Stone. All right, just as an announcement for our ushers in the future, on Wednesday nights, if we can have about four ushers just ready to go, y'all do a superb job, I appreciate you, but if we can have ushers ready to go with handouts, even if we had a couple ushers in the foyer handing them out as people came in, that would be wonderful. I would greatly appreciate that. As we look at the outline here, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship is a book that points the believer back to the basics of strong, fundamental, and authentic discipleship. This is something just I believe that helps us to refocus on what is a disciple of Christ. What should be the main thing in your life and my life as we walk with the Lord. And I do believe that this brother, Brother Peter Scazzaro, who pastored a church for nearly 30 years, planted a couple churches in New York City. He went through a phase in his life for almost 20 years where he just got burnt out. His wife, Jerry, basically left the church where he was started and pastoring. She got burnt out and said, I'm not doing this anymore. He got burnt out and broken. He was a talented person, a talented speaker. And he was polished on the outside, but he was hollow on the inside. And it can happen so easily to any of us that are seeking to follow Jesus. And we just need to guard against that, quite frankly. We need to be on guard. And I know I do. And so I believe you will benefit as well. Sadly, much of what the church is experiencing today is fast-paced, quick fix, do-it-yourself, easiest route, and privatized discipleship. And what I mean by the privatized is basically people just want their own little world. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what feels right. And they isolate themselves. And that's not true discipleship. Discipleship is being open and community, being there, connecting the body of Christ. We are together. And so we're going to understand more about that. Jesus lived and taught a discipleship that transforms our lives and those around us. And my prayer is that as we work through this book, that we will draw closer to the Lord in a more meaningful and intimate walk with God, and so that we can impact this world for Christ and truly make a difference. Question, as we just read this verse, what is the purpose, goal, and mission of Crooked Creek Baptist Church? Well, I think we just got to keep it really simple and really write what the Bible says. Our main mission, there are many things that we do as a church, right? Like today, we have Good News Club. It's a great ministry. We have a Wednesday night service. Great opportunity for discipleship, for togetherness. And we could go through the line that things that we do as disciples, that they're all good. But we got to understand, why do we do those things? Is there a purpose behind it? Are we just filling space? Are we just running the rat race and just trying to fulfill traditions or trying to be as trendy as possible to do the next cool thing that the next church is doing to draw the next crowd? I mean, are we getting caught up in all of that and the flash and the fancy? And is that true discipleship? Well, I don't believe it is. I believe it's artificial. I believe it's something that Satan uses actually as a distraction. And it truly, I believe, zaps the local church of the power of God. And so we're going to do our best to let the Holy Spirit get us to a place where we can be disciples who are in love with the Lord Jesus, in love with each other, and in love with the call He's put on us to do. But what is the main goal mission? It is to be disciples of Jesus who are making disciples of Jesus. Let's read that together. What is the main purpose, goal, and mission of Crooked Creek Baptist Church? Let's say it together. It is to be disciples of Jesus who are making disciples of Jesus. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's who we are. Disciples who are growing ourselves, maturing in the Lord, seeking to make more. Because that is the command that God Himself gave us before He left this earth. Jesus, before He said, this is the command He gave, go and make disciples. You teach them. And after you've led them to Me, then they trust Me, then you will teach them and baptize them, and then they will make disciples. That is the plan of God. Now, I know I stated some things here that Brother Peter notes in his book, but some of the traditional and trendy approaches to discipleship often miss the mark to deep transformative discipleship that cultivates real spiritual growth. And that's what we want to do. Now, I want to say this ahead of time, unless I confuse somebody. This is not some newfound secret formula. All right? This is not what this study is. I believe this is simply what we would call a helps, a tool to refocus our hearts and minds to what discipleship is. This is not follow these 10 steps and you're going to have success in your Christian life. That doesn't exist, okay? You follow the Word of God and submit to God's Word. That's where we find success. We're growing in the Lord. So I just wanted to say I'm not promoting this book or these teachings as that type of thing. But certainly as a helps, a tool. So what are some of the failures of what we see today in some discipleship? Well, they do not slow down people's lives so they can cultivate a deep personal relationship with Jesus. You remember the illustration there? Well, the real life story that we read about Mary and Martha. We don't have time to go there tonight, but do you remember Mary and Martha were there, and one was working hard and the other one was at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus pointed out that the more needful part, the most important part, was for where Mary was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's where the most important part was. Martha was busy about. Nothing wrong with being busy for the Lord. But when we neglect that most precious part of being with Jesus, we truly miss out. And let me just say this up front, and I'm speaking to myself as a pastor. Please don't think for a moment that I don't struggle at times with my personal devotions. Okay? That's something that we always have to make sure is at the forefront. Because even as a pastor, I'm studying for messages, I'm doing counseling, I'm doing visiting. Those things are all important. But what I have found, I can quickly allow those things to be a substitute for my precious personal time with Jesus. And you do the same thing. Okay, your life gets busy. You got the kids doing this. You got this activity, this thing going on, or whatever the case may be. And what happens in a lot of our lives is we get so busy that we miss out on the most important thing. That's not real discipleship. And I pray that we will cultivate a deep walk with the Lord as we study this series. Second, here, they do not challenge the values of Western culture that have compromised the radical call to follow the crucified Jesus. the call to take up your cross and follow me. We have a Christianity, especially in America, that says, hey, make it as easy and comfortable as possible. Go through the path of least resistance. Embrace the world, the ways of the world, and just do your thing and get your little Jesus fix on Sunday and we'll all be okay. In fact, there's a lot of churches that are so shallow because what they're doing is say, hey, you just join our church, we'll add you to the roll, and we'll leave you alone. You do your thing. If you just show up on Sundays, we'll be thankful, and we'll just go on with life. That's not New Testament discipleship. That's not what Jesus intended. He intended us to be together, to grow together, to be open together, to love together, to reach others together. We understand that, but this world and a trendy discipleship does not tend to that. Also, thirdly, here these other discipleship ways, they do not integrate sadness, loss, and vulnerability. And what happens is this leaves people defensive, disingenuous, and discouraged. Because what happens is in a local church setting, people come to church and all you see is surface. We it appears that we all have it together and we really don't. I heard the illustration before, you know, there's sometimes where you need to be at church and when a brother and sister that you know in church ask you how you're doing, you know, sometimes you just need to be honest. And it might just be a day where you had to say, you know, it's actually been about the third worst day of my life. But you know, we don't do that. Is that what Jesus wanted us to do? Just to kind of come and just be polished and just appear that everything's just fine. And we do not open up. We do not embrace there's times of sadness even with each other. And I put some reference verses that, you know, Paul told the church in Rome, listen, you rejoice together, but you weep together as well. Do both of those. You know, and Galatians tells us to if a brother be overtaken in a fault, seek to restore such a one. You know, bear one another's burdens is what it says in verse 2. And also confessing your faults one to another. It's a time where we can encourage each other. And does that mean that somebody stands up here and just announces all that they're struggling with? No. If God, the Holy Spirit, led someone to do that, I mean, you let the Lord lead you. I'm not saying you have to do that. What I mean is more a little bit more practical where brothers and sisters in the church that you know, that you love, and they love you, to confiding in them, opening up to them, being known. I think that's true New Testament discipleship, being disciples of the Lord, because otherwise it becomes a breeding ground for Pharisees and for just hypocrisy and. And boy, we don't want that. We want what the Lord wants in His church. And then we see here, they do not measure our spiritual maturity by how we are growing in our ability to love others. And that's something that we'll look at here in the first part of this series, is that is truly an indicator of your spiritual maturity, is how well you love those around you. In fact, Galatians 5:14 is that you fulfill the law of God by your love one for another. Wow. That fulfills the law of God by our love one for another. And how much do we love each other, even those that get on our nerves? You know, a lot of times what we do as Baptists a lot of times we'll say, well, the Bible says love your enemy. Well, what we think about immediately is our enemy is like somebody that's trying to kill us, or, you know, our enemy out there, somebody that, you know, stole our car. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But, you know, I believe that word enemy there can very easily in a very real way, refer to people that just get on our nerves. It could be that boss. It could be that employee. It could be that neighbor. And listen, I'm just going to be honest here with you. There are times it could be a spouse where you just are at each other, and and there's been some disagreements. It happens to everybody in this room that's been married for at least a day. All right. It happens. Okay. Somebody that just opposes you and is not seeing things the way you do, the Bible teaches the love. How well are we loving in those situations? Well, that, a lot of that will determine where we are spiritually in our spiritual maturity as disciples of Christ. But sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we judge our spiritual maturity off of, okay, do we tithe, which is a good thing? Do we come to church? Or that's a good thing. Do we pass out tracts? Well, that's a good thing. Those things are all good that I just named. Of course, they're taught in the Bible. I'm not going to be critical of them. But what if we do all those things and we don't even have love for the people around us? You know, and those are the things we're going to learn in this. And as you notice in closing here, we're going to break up in small groups. I don't want to keep going. I want to give this illustration. It really wraps up to what this book teaches. Notice the illustration. Discipleship that goes deeper than the surface. The Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched in 1936. Through four decades and a world war, she served until she was retired as a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. During the conversion into a hotel, her three massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. But on the dock, they crumbled. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel plate from which the stacks had been formed. All that remained were more than 30 coats of paint that had been applied over the years. Notice this last statement. The steel had rusted away. If we're not careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a picture, can be a picture of the Christian life. We don't want to be that kind of disciples where we just keep putting on paint over some internal issues that where we are spiritually immature, and I have it and you have it. If we don't deal with it and let God deal with it and conform us born to the image of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I really want to grow. How about you, church? Amen. Being a genuine disciple of Christ can be raw, it can be messy and weighty, but the outcome is glorious transformation into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul stated it clearly. His goal was to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted to, those times of embracing sadness and hurt and just weighty things in life, but then also being conformable unto His death. He wanted to just to be like the Lord in every possible way, and that is becoming a disciple. Tonight in our small group session, I just want us to think upon that first question that we can talk about together. How is it possible to be committed, a committed follower of Jesus, and yet remain shallow and hollow as a disciple of Christ? Now, in the coming weeks, notice A, B, C, and D. Those are a few things we'll look at. Now, this is just going through the first couple chapters. Well, the reason we fail in discipleship is because we tolerate emotional immaturity. We emphasize doing for God over being with God. Martha, Mary syndrome. We ignore the treasures of church history. The fact of how people have lived for the Lord all these years in our past, and we look to them for inspiration and encouragement. And then we define success wrongly, and so we'll look at that together. What I would like for you to do in the coming few days, the coming week, I gave you some homework. I'm sorry, I do not like homework, but I'm giving it to you anyway. But these are some things that you can do at home in your personal time. Just really be honest with the question. And then there's an assessment that I'm sending with you. That assessment does not say at all, okay, just let me be clear. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will show you who you really are. But if you'll take this assessment and just do it home, and I'm not asking you to bring it back. This is just for us personally. I'm taking it. I encourage you to, and just see where the Lord may reveal some spots in your life where you are really spiritually immature. And if you're an A-plus in all of them, hey, we're going to have you come pray over us next week, okay? Amen.